know, over the years, and even before I started preaching, I would be asked a lot of religious questions. There was times where it would be family, and oftentimes it would be even brothers and sisters in Christ. But there was always been a particular type of question that always gave me cause for concern. Now, what do these questions have in common? How much do I give? Is 10% a New Testament command or just an Old Testament teaching? Do I have to worship on Sunday evening? Or is being here for Bible class and morning worship okay? I know prayer is helpful, but do I need to set up a prayer schedule? Now, of themselves, these are not bad questions. Sometimes people truly want to know the answers. And I'm not about to judge the sincerity of the one asking, but the common link between these questions that I had just went over is the idea of minimum. What is the least that I need to do to make God happy with me? Have you ever wondered in Mark chapter 10 why Jesus only told the one that we call the rich young ruler to go and sell all that he had and give it to the poor and follow him? You think about the man's question for a moment, where he asked, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it was the duty and the minimum requirements. But the answer that Jesus gave was the maximum. Now, the Jews of the Old Testament, it often sounds as if God is saying, if you obey me, I will bless you. But when Jesus came to this earth, when he went up and willingly hung on that cross for our sins, and that he was raised to life so that we could live forever with him, it now sounds like, I have blessed you now, and in response to my love and grace, obey me. Or as Paul would write, walk worthy of your calling. Ephesians chapter 4 is where our text comes from this evening. Paul makes a very profound statement that is easy to miss in this passage in the first three verses. Now listen to what Paul writes. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in the manner worthy of your calling, to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul is calling the Christians to a higher standard. Paul was never an individual that was concerned about minimal Christianity. But in living and walking and running with the Lord in such a way that his life, that our life reflects who God is and what it means to be the church. Paul was not a prisoner for the Lord because he likes prison cells or that he had a martyr complex. He was a prisoner because he was obedient in every aspect of his life. The calling and the grace that he had received from Jesus Christ himself. Now don't tell me that it doesn't make a difference what we believe, because it does. Because what we believe determines how we behave. Our conduct in this life is a living testimony of how we view what it means to be called a child of God. If I hold fast to the belief that as long as you believe you are saved, then it doesn't matter what I do in this life. It doesn't matter how I conduct myself, because as long as I believe, I'm going to heaven anyway. Paul calls upon us to walk worthy of our calling. And that calling that Paul talks about is the calling for us to be united. Now, Paul takes us from this application of what it means to walk worthy to walking in unity. You know, it's not enough to share a common purpose. We have to work together to make that purpose a reality. You know, we can share a common purpose in that we want to share the gospel with as many as we can. But unless we are unified in that, we cannot make that purpose a reality. Spiritual unity requires work. And for us to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, it is a decision and not an emotional response. I'm united with this church family, not because of how much I like you, but because together we follow and love God. And in doing that, I end up liking you because we have everything in common with one another. The more we love God, the more we follow the teachings of God's Word. The more we look like Christ, the more we are keeping in step with the Spirit. The more we hold on to our hope, faith and baptism, the more we become one body. In Ephesians 4 and verses 4 through 7, Paul said, "There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over, through all, and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gifts." This is known as Paul's seven ones. One body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Seven ones. But when we examine this list, we don't want to get caught up in the individual parts, because Paul's writing is explaining the whole. We don't divide up the fruit of the Spirit into parts. Yes, there are parts in the fruit of the Spirit, but they're all one. Paul is describing the Spirit as a whole and what the Spirit produces. So instead of asking what is meant by one Lord, one Spirit, one God, etc., we need to ask, what does it mean to be one? We can answer that with the words of Jesus in John 17. Starting in verse 20, and reading through verse 23, Jesus said, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me, and I love them even as you have loved me." What Paul does in Ephesians 4 is expand upon this prayer of Jesus. Our oneness needs to mirror God. The Hebrew Shema, or prayer, begins Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The word translated God in this Hebrew text is actually plural. Elohim is the word that is used. But the Jews did not see God as many gods, but as one God. They saw Yahweh as one that was totally unique. The Lord is one, but really encompasses everything. There is no other God, and yet God cannot be limited to singleness. Jesus is God. The Spirit is God. The Father is God. And yet all are one. How does that work? I don't know. What it calls for, though, is a complete unity of purpose and work. If I am willing to accept the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work in complete unity, then I can apply it so that it means for us to eagerly maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I can understand, and I think we all can, that faith, hope, baptism, and body are as much one as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The application is that we are so united in purpose and strength that we together seek to grow in God's will for our collective life. We are the body. We are what the world sees as God with flesh on. We, this congregation, is Jesus to this community around us. It is our unity of doctrine that molds us and drives us as a church, and to be able to take that message to the world. Let us go back to the beginning. Paul, a prisoner of the Lord, urges us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called. That is not a minimum. That is not us going to services once in a while. It is Paul calling on us to give 100% of who we are to this walk. And this spiritual walk is not intended to be walked alone. It is humility, it is gentleness, and a forgiving heart that we walk together as a family. Being a Christian is not something we do. Going to services is not something we do. We belong to one another. We lean upon and we support one another. And as the church, there is one a great marriage has ever been seen. Unity. And that oneness is God's gift to us to be able to live a full life. If there is anyone here this evening that is in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. And if you're not a child of God and you have decided this moment to devote your life to Him through repentance and confession and baptism, have your sins forgiven and washed away, to become that child of God, and to devote your life in living that faithful life, we want to give you that opportunity also. If anyone has a need, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.